In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
I'm the Mighty Manfred in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Bryce Connor. He is one of two guitarists in the Jelly Bricks, band based in the Mechanicsburg-Harrisburg area of Pennsylvania. Bryce is responsible for writing the title track to the band's latest album, Dreaming in Stereo. It's their second for Wicked Cool Records, and it's the recent coolest song of the world. We'll hear a tad of it now, and afterwards I'll be back on the line with Bryce for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Conversations time in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and my guest today is Bryce Connor, one of the guitarists in the Jelly Bricks, based in the Mechanicsburg, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. Bryce is credited as songwriter for the title track to the band's latest album on Wicked Cool Records, Dreaming in Stereo, which is also our coolest song in the world this week. Bryce, how are you?
Hello, Manfred. I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty great. In fact, hey, today is Valentine's Day.
It is.
Do you have a sweetheart?
I do indeed. Shannon, she is wonderful. And she's the best thing going.
Well, do you have any special plans for today?
We're actually going to see some good friends of ours record a live podcast in a bar. They're called Julian Fist. It's kind of like really good old school friends and just going out and checking out some music on Valentine's Day.
Wow, what a fantastic girlfriend to be so tolerant of you and your music.
I asked her, I said, do you want to do this? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was up to her.
Oh, well, let me, does she play any instruments, or is she musically inclined? Or
no, she does not. She actually has a really nice singing voice when she's like singing along to stuff, but not musically inclined.
Yeah, and so have you ever used her on a recording?
Not recording, but actually she is in two videos so far, which is pretty cool.
Oh, which two videos?
She is in, let's see, the Brooklyn video, and she is in Can't Get Over You video.
Well, you know, you guys do really great videos, and I wanted to get to that as we're chatting. But first, let's talk a bit about our coolest song in the world this week, and actually we'll just talk about the album in a sense, or overall. So Dreaming in Stereo is a new album. Title cut's our coolest song. It's your second album for Wicked Cool Records, right?
Correct.
All right. So where did you record it?
We love to work with Mr. Sanoff at the Renegade Nation, as everyone knows. And
Wait a minute. Mr. Sanoff, which, speaking of Jeff Sanoff?
Yeah, Mr. Jeffy Sanoff. And so we did a lot of the basics at Renegade. And we actually even brought Jeff here, which was pretty cool, to PA. And we worked with a good friend of ours, Mike Waskevich, maybe. I always pronounce that wrong. He's got a place called MDW Productions in Harrisburg. So we actually brought Jeff here and the two of them kind of worked together. And it was super cool to like have those two great minds meet. So we did it in a couple places.
Wow. So what's the time span for this? When did you record it?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It did take a little bit of time. I don't even know if I could give you specific dates. I know we were basically holed up during the pandemic and we individually just kind of like ended up with like 30 songs and then we kind of whittled them down. But it probably took us close to 2 years. That's actually a better question for Larry. I'm not good with dates.
But in a general sense, that's what I'm thinking about here. So over the course of 2 years now, with Jeff, you've worked with Jeff before.
Yes.
What else have you worked with him on?
He mixed and basically finalized all of the previous records, Some Kind of Lucky. And we put out the Brooklyn DOA single that Jeff recorded at Renegade. So it's been a pretty long time that we've been working with him. He is the best.
All right. And working with this bunch of songs, was there anything different production-wise, any way that he addressed anything differently or not?
Actually, you know, one thing we did that we have never done before, we actually did pre-production with Jeff where we brought him to Mechanicsburg for a weekend. We basically just hung out and played, sat in a room, the five of us, played through the tracks, and we just listened and talked. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? So that was cool, and I think it was very helpful. It did take a little while till we got to the actual tracking after that, but it was very beneficial to do that with him over the course of, like, you know, 2 8-hour days.
Wow, yeah, that is cool. So there are 12 songs on the album, but a couple of recent singles actually aren't on there, like Making Mistakes and That Way. Well, I was surprised that those weren't included on the album. Why is that?
Oh, thanks for saying that. Well, we got to fit that time frame, and usually 12 songs is about all you can get on the vinyl. So we were very lucky that they said, why don't we just release, we wanted 14 tunes, and unfortunately we had to pick two that didn't make it, but we got to release them as singles, and they both did really well. So that was very nice to be able to get those extra songs out there in the process.
Well, we were talking about the 12, there are 12 tunes on it, and put the album together over the course of a couple of years. The songs themselves, are they from that same time frame, or are there other things that date back to the pandemic?
Basically, all the songs on that record came from our writing sessions during the pandemic, but there is one called All About You, which is actually a much older, old school Jelly Brick song that's been around for a very long time, since like probably the late 90s, and we never did anything with it. And then we were like, well, we kind of like this, and Jeff liked it, so we worked on it.
So how do you categorize an old school Jelly Bricks song? What is something, when I hear it, how would I know, oh yeah, this is like old school Jelly Bricks, and kind of smile and nod my head, you know, like, oh yeah.
That's a good question. Actually, the song originated with our original drummer, Lane Wheeler, which was way back in like 97, 98. So, I mean, I don't know if you can really distinguish, because the production and I think just the ideas have evolved so much since then, but that's really the biggest difference, I would say, is it's actually a song that was with Lane all those years ago, and Tom's been in the band 26 years now, so it's like, it seems like a really long time ago.
Yeah, well, and you still tease him about being the new guy, probably.
A little bit. It's definitely starting to die off a little bit, but yeah, you got to do some of that.
Right. Well, one thing I enjoy about you guys is that, you know, Larry writes songs, you write songs. I believe Garrick and Tom write tunes as well, right?
Correct. Yep, they do.
Well, I don't have like I have a track listing, but I don't have any information about who all wrote what all. But are they represented? Do they each, like Garrick? I mean, I bet Larry does, but Garrick and Tom, do they have any compositions that are on the album or things they co-wrote?
Theoretically, there's 5 from me, 5 from Larry, and 2 from Tom on this record.
Oh, wow.
But I would say, I mean, when we write, we bring them in kind of finished, and then we're always tweaking stuff. So it's everyone's always participating and contributing to stuff, even if they didn't initially write it. But there are 2 Tom songs on this record, The Devil's Just a Day Away which just came out, which had done really well, which is great. And so he's got two on there.
Oh, that's very cool. So you wrote our coolest song of the world this week, the title track, Dreaming in Stereo. First, let me ask you, do you dream in color?
Wow, that's actually a really good question. I don't even know if I can answer that, but I have these like crazy, elaborate, like movie script, 6-hour dreams that I could never remember, but I remember the essence of them, but I don't know if it's color. That's a great question. I don't know.
Well, so what's the essence of one of these dreams? You can't recall the specifics, but give us an idea of what is the essence to the nocturnal mind of Bryce Connor. What's going on?
I kid you not, Manfred. Like, it's like I couldn't, like, sometimes it's like a movie script of like a cop movie, and sometimes I don't even know. Like, it's crazy. I wish I had the ability to remember and write them down. I know they're there and they happen all the time, but I don't have much more information. It's kind of crazy.
Well, I agree with this thing about I've had dreams too where it's like a movie that's playing and I'm not in it. I mean, so in your dreams, when you have these sorts of these dream adventures, are you present in the dream or are you just kind of watching these events unfold?
I think generally present, and it can be like 20 different people from like my current life, or it could be like 10 different people from like high school or childhood, or like very involved. And I don't know. It's been that way as long as I can remember. It's crazy.
Well, I'm going to keep going on this theme here for a bit longer. So Dream in Stereo, do you have a preference like to hear music in mono or stereo, or does that make any difference to you at all?
I don't know that I would say in stereo, but like Larry has definitely opened my eyes/ears to the whole Beatles thing, listening in mono, or if you're in a restaurant and it's weird because Paul's bass is up over here and you can't really hear what's going on because the speakers are so far apart. I mean, I would say stereo, but the mono thing is cool.
Mm. All right. So Dreaming in Stereo, is this like a song where the lyric came first or not?
I'm pretty sure the lyric did come first on this one. And it really goes back to just like a movie buff. I've seen like every movie you could ever think of. And I think it just kind of comes from that. I used to go to the movies all the time, even like by myself, just to get away and like be in solitude. And, you know, I just love that. So I think it comes from a lot of movie experience, movie watching experience, should I say, in my life.
Well, that's cool, because that's relating back to these dreams that you're having.
Yeah.
Oh, right. How many hours a night do you sleep on average?
Not enough anymore. I used to be able to sleep forever. Now I'm lucky if I get 7.
Oh, yeah, man. Man, I'm crying for 7. Crying for 7. I'd be happy for 7. Okay, so videos. You've done a lot of cool videos, and a lot of them got this really cool thing. It's like one shot that just keeps going on, and elements are coming in and out. And you've done stuff like you're going backwards through the whole video, and I know Age of Stupid is like an animated thing. Will there be a video for Dreaming in Stereo?
There will be. Yes, it is just about complete. I think. Actually, I think it is complete. But yes, there will be a video, and it's very cool. We're very excited to have people see it.
Can you give us a teaser? Any sort of insight to what it might look like, or whether it's animated or not, or live action or not, or what?
It's neither live action nor animated technically, but I can't really say anything else because there's one word that would completely give it away.
The mystery. All right. So like the animated ones, Age is Stupid. And I know it's February now, is it Valentine's Day, but I want us to, I need to mention that your song, Age of Stupid, which is on the new album, was voted as the coolest song of the year for 2024 as part of our 19th annual listeners poll. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're super psyched about that.
Yeah. And so who wrote Age of Stupid?
That, I believe, is a Larry song, as far as my memory serves. Yeah, that's a Larry song.
Okay. Well, any particular event or events that inspired that one, Age of Stupid?
I don't know that I could get into that. I mean, I'm sure he has some specifics. I love the very just kind of like snarky punk rock attitude of that song. I loved it from the minute he brought it, and we were just like off and running, and we probably had a live version in like literally an hour. But I don't really know. I mean, I haven't picked his brain specifically as to where he's going, but I think lots of different people could take lots of different spins on it very quickly.
I bet they could. What is your spin, Bryce Connor?
I kind of think it's cool that, like, if you need to say, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, that song could apply to any side. So it's kind of like, I don't want to pigeonhole it, and I don't know that he necessarily did, but that's the beauty of it. People can take whatever they take and like or dislike or whatever from there.
You know, I was reading, getting some good, great reviews for the new album. I think there's something like on Punk Rock Theory. I was wondering, have you ever gotten a review that was positive, but the writer, when you read the review, you realize they really don't get you? Like, so my example would be, and my own band, someone, you know, writing, raving about whatever record, and then talking about how the band is really infused with the spirit of rockabilly, you know, and of course, then really enjoy rockabilly music, but that has absolutely nothing with the sorts of sounds or anything that we're doing, you know. Maybe there's some R&B and flavored things, like rockabilly has, you know, rock and roll, early rock and roll R&B things to it, but we have nothing really to do with rockabilly music per se, and it's just weird. Or we get compared to some group like, you know, like the Cramps. I love the Cramps, but that really doesn't have anything to do with what we do. Has that ever occurred to you? Has that occurred to you guys? And if so, what were the influences that really didn't pertain to you, or the comparison to a group that really had nothing to do with what you're about?
That's interesting. Lately we've got a lot of really like spot on, or at least references that we were like, oh, the Replacements, that's fantastic, or whatever it is, like things that we would like. But I can think of one example, like we were literally, this isn't print, this is verbal, but we were in a radio station in Boston. We're talking like 1999 maybe. And the DJ had no, we were going in, we were going to play, do some, you know, whatever. And she had no idea. And she listened to like 30 seconds of a song called Fingernails. And Fingernails has a 30-second interlude before the actual lyrics begin. And she says, so you guys are like an instrumental band? And we were like, well, you got to go a little further than 30 seconds to figure out what we are. That always sticks out to me. But that's similar, but not quite the same.
Well, right. No, that touches it. Do you guys have any upcoming gigs?
We do, Manfred. We're playing, I think it's March 2nd. We're playing a Sunday at a place called Note, which is a great little bistro / wine bar in Harrisburg right down the street from us. So I think that's our next thing, March 2nd, Sunday.
Oh, the wine bar thing. And so, God, what is the guy, trying to think of this gentleman, he plays, maybe it's a Split Squad.
Mike Giblin.
Mike Giblin. Does Giblin have a hand in that place?
He did, as a matter of fact, yes. Certainly when they started. So yeah, you're definitely on the right track. That was, for sure.
Oh, well, cool. Do you ever see him around about town? Have you ever, because I know he's got like a studio down in his basement and stuff. Have you ever done any work with him?
Yeah, actually, Michael has been a great friend of mine and ours for almost as long as we've been a band, like over 25 years. We pre-produced our entire Power This record at his old studio way back in the day, which was awesome. And we've done tons of stuff, shows with him, and he's a good friend. I see him, you know, here and there around town. It's a small place, pretty much, Mechanicsburg versus Harrisburg. But yeah, we see him quite a bit.
It's very cool. Yeah. All right. So the other cut that we're going to take a listen to off the new album, Dreaming in Stereo, is called Let You Down. And now, who wrote Let You Down?
That is a Larry Kennedy original.
Larry Kennedy original. And so is this, like, when was it? It was written during the pandemic, during those writing sessions?
Correct. Yeah, I think that one was a little bit later in the span of time we had. But another one that just, as soon as I heard it, we would pass files back and forth, and Tom would put drums on, I would put guitar in, and that was another one that I liked it right from the start, just like Age of Stupid.
Yeah, it's got a great little swing and groove to it, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. And it's definitely a little, it's different. It's not, it's, you know, it's old school, but it's, I don't know, it's got a cool feel to it, for sure.
Well, Bryce, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. I really appreciate it.
And we're going to give a listen now to Let You Down. It's a Jailbreak off the new album Dreaming in Stereo here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Of Let You Down. That's the Jailbreaks here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Tracks off their latest album, Dreaming in Stereo. It's out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to member Bryce Connor for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing and editing our podcast. Our next Coolest Conversations, that's going to take us overseas to Sweden. Here from Filippa Nazil. She's the guitarist in the all-female band Thunder Mother. They recently released their sixth album titled Dirty and Divine, and we'll find out all about it next time around on your Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.